It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Today, the Jimmy Stewart Museum in Indiana, Pennsylvania is holding its annual fundraising event. This year, it features an appearance by the incomparable Carol Burnett, who will receive the 2014 Harvey Award. Joining us to talk about the event is Tim Harley, Executive Director of the Jimmy Stewart Museum. He's with us by phone from Indiana, PA. Tim Harley, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good morning, Paul. Thank you so much.
What can you tell us about the connection between Carol Burnett and Jimmy Stewart?
Well, Paul, I was aware of the clip that we're playing on our website, www.jimmy.org, that shows Mr. Stewart as a surprise guest at her very last long-running television show. And through that, learned of a mutual admiration and friendship that had developed between both people, but really, honestly, until I read some of the recent press that has been generated because of our event, didn't come to know the story of Carol as a young person, a young girl growing up in Texas and going to the cinema and seeing Mr. Stewart in a special way that related to her own personal situation and her own family life, and coming to see Mr. Stewart very much as an admirable character and a hero, and someone that, although via the movie screen, that she could look up to and relate to.
And in what ways did he inspire her to go on to do the great things that she has done in Hollywood?
Well, I think it was really, at that point, Paul, it was via his roles. She did not come to meet James Stewart till later in life. And I think, as we feel through the work of our education committee that we gear to youth here in Indiana, that as well as in his personal life, but first and foremost for most people, through many of his roles, he presents an admirable picture and a model on making good judgments in life and making the right judgments in life. And via those roles, I think she came to see that perseverance, all the things that we want our children and our youth to know are valuable in a culture and society that perhaps they seem diminished and unfashionable. Those things still ring completely true. And for her, perhaps coming from a somewhat challenging familial situation and home life, she was able to glean for herself certain strengths that Mr. Stewart expresses in his roles.
And it's interesting, Tim, how the whole thing, which became mutual admiration eventually as her star rose in Hollywood and as people became aware of her, that the man she grew up watching and admiring would be sitting at home watching and admiring her work on television later in his life. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, isn't it interesting? You know, the world works in very funny ways, Paul, and I think that part of the story is really touching and amazing, that a little girl who became acquainted with James Stewart at the probably quite simple movie theater in her hometown, I believe, of San Antonio, Texas, through her own hard work and ingenuity and creative spirit, rose to a position that not only was she a star in her own right and have this type of persona and be so well known, but that the great fortune that Mr. Stort was still here and still present, and that they were able to connect. I think for him, of course, he would have been unaware of her past history, and it was a situation where he admired her work and her comic genius. And as you may have seen in one interview that has appeared recently, Kelly Stort talks, Mr. Stort's daughter, talks about being at home at the family home in Beverly Hills and hearing her parents roaring with laughter from the library. And what was it they were watching but the Carol Burnett Show? So a beautiful coincidence of time and place that allowed them to eventually come together.
Carol Burnett's award is being squeezed in between her filming an appearance on Hawaii Five-O and Love Letters, which she is performing on Broadway. Did she have any hesitation about fitting this into her schedule today?
Only on the challenging time constraints it's presented for all of us. Carol, as is stated in many articles, and is 81. And regardless of the fact that she is an intensely active 81, she's still 81. And when we were able to present her with this opportunity, she was so gracious and so honored to accept what is truly an honor for us that it was just a matter, as it always has been in arranging these awards, because originally we tried to do them, Paul, around Mr. Stort's birthday of May 20th. My predecessors here soon found that attracting high-caliber entertainment personalities to Indiana, Pennsylvania, first and foremost, relied on working with their schedule, and that's something we're very happy to do. So the great coincidence is that she went out to Honolulu to film an episode of Hawaii Five-O, which she is a regular on now, and had some time that in her transit east could stop and be with us before she goes into rehearsal Monday or Tuesday.
And what kind of response and excitement is her appearance generating?
Oh, Paul, you know, Indiana isn't on an interstate. we're a wonderful, beautiful county seat that has done a lot for itself and has made an attractive place more attractive and has a very community-oriented populace. But of course, our local members and supporters, as they always have, will be with us tonight. But what is most interesting to me, this is probably the largest turnout we've had at 350, and we had to, understandably, for our caterer and our event venue, we had to close the acceptance of reservations at some point so they could do their work. The banquet hall holds 400. This past Monday, we had to give them a firm count, and we have turned away more than an additional 50. What is really curious about that to me, Paul, and I suppose part of it speaks to the internet age in general, but we have a wonderful web host and a web designer who does a beautiful job with our site, and Altris Incorporated put up a great graphic, and once that went up, we have people, and this is really different and significant for us, we have people who are non-members of this membership Leadership Society coming from New York, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, California, Texas, Tennessee, Kentucky, West Virginia, Virginia, and Ohio. So to have that draw, not only for our event, but for our community, is wonderful.
And I understand there are other special guests as well, in addition to Carol Burnett.
Oh, indeed so, sir. All of them longstanding friends and supporters, first and foremost, Mr. Stewart's daughters, who either in tandem or separately always try, if their schedule permits, to be with us for our events. We also do another event called the George Bailey Award that's geared at a local person who helps the organization. And any time that Kelly and Judy can be with us, and their brother, all Michael McLean and his sisters, all reflect so clearly their parents' mentality about life, and that mentality that took our dear friend George Bailey a little time in his life to understand, that they just embody it naturally.
And of course, George Bailey is the character in It's a Wonderful Life, whose character speaks so much to the importance of life and how everybody's life has value. It's part of the great message of that movie, which, as we get into the holiday season, we'll be seeing a lot more of. We're talking with Tim Harley. He is executive director of the Jimmy Stewart Museum here on Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. What should people know who have never been to the Jimmy Stewart Museum? What should they know about it?
That they're really missing something and they better get here. Paul, what I will tell you is, if you would just come in the door and to your left, you'll see our guest book. If you didn't go in the museum and you read the guest book and couldn't stay, you would know you would have to come back. We sometimes face the mentality that Mr. Stewart is something of the past. That's not the case, and it's expressed in so many ways. It's expressed when 13 or 14-year-olds feel it's important to cite their age in the guest book and say, "I brought my parents here." But the guest book overall, Paul, is, look, we don't have holograms. We don't have push-button interactive devices. We have a fabulous collection of material culture related to the life and career of James Stewart that people leave here with such appreciation. You know, I guess part of it, Paul, without telling my own history, I came from a background of historic architecture and stewarding buildings, which I have a great love for. And to make a switch to a personality-based museum, I thought was a challenge and something I didn't understand. And it's certainly not true of every star, that Mr. Stewart has had and continues to have through his roles and through his own real life, his personhood, he has a positive effect on people that I was completely unaware of existed, and that people responded to a person in this way. It has been a complete learning experience and a transformative experience for me in ways that I never imagined.
And Tim, what are some of the things that people can see there? I know you can't go through all of the items. We wouldn't have enough time, but maybe some of the highlights that people should know about.
Well, an exhibit that was actually mounted as a temporary exhibit and has become most assuredly a permanent exhibit because the response to it has been so positive is called 918. 918 is the address on North Roxbury Drive, accessed through the front door, the solid oak front door of that home, which was unfortunately, perhaps fortunately in our case, demolished shortly after Mr. Stewart's death, not an uncommon occurrence in Hollywood. That is a photo exhibit that includes formerly shot interiors of the home, interspersed with family snapshots, which Kelly and Judy and Michael have been gracious enough to share with us, that show the Stewarts relaxing, at play, having fun. It shows a wonderful 80th birthday party that Gloria Stewart gave for her husband with all the luminaries from Swifty Lazar, Julie Andrews, Johnny Carson, and shows Mr. Stewart and Gloria each in their respective his in his vegetable and she in her flower garden. That actually, if you didn't know they were in Hollywood, Paul, you would think they were pictures of a backyard in Indiana.
Mm.
So a very touching exhibit.
And I was going to ask you if the museum, and I think you just answered the question, if it explains how the town of Indiana shaped Jimmy Stewart. Clearly, he took the values that he grew up with there onto Hollywood.
Paul, who gave you a copy of my remarks for tonight, sir? Oh, absolutely true. And that is, you know, it's not an unusual story. Those values are part and parcel of all small towns in America in that time. The one thing that I do think makes Mr. Stewart shine even more, Paul, is that he was born to a patrician family. He followed his father, who was a graduate of Princeton in 1898, to Princeton. So very different than really what we might, with all respect, describe as most people's hardscrabble existence in coal patch towns of west central Pennsylvania. He, by perhaps merit of his father's business of owning a hardware, where local people not only met to exchange news and visit, just like we think about in those stories around the old potbelly stove, he also saw his father barter with people who couldn't pay their bills, work out an answer to people's problems, everything from accepting a boa constrictor from a circus that was passing through town and needed a new axle. The boa constrictor, I will say, had a short life in the store window. it frightened two dear old ladies quite nearly to death, and Alex made a quick decision that the boa constrictor needed to move on. But, you know, he could have very easily assumed a very prominent role in this community without effort, gone to Princeton, enjoyed the fact that he could go to school, come back, inherit his father's business, and been a leading citizen of a county seat in Pennsylvania. His life was different. Much to his father's chagrin, he was bit by the acting bug. You know, and the story is told that his ever increasingly older father held on to the store, and there are quotes that reflect this, in case this acting thing doesn't work out for my son. And some of those were made rather late in Mr. Stewart's career. So just a really fantastic story, and part of that story that we would like to expand on and feel, perhaps in an unfortunate way, Paul, but in a very realistic way, that there are many people that will never, particularly in our push-button and selfie and Facebook age, will never have an interest in classic film and the black and white era and the golden era of Hollywood. But we, as a nation and across the world, and certainly our guests come from across the world, we continue to ask young people to don a uniform and work in service of their country in very challenging situations. So one hope of the museum is to someday to be able to really explore more fully Mr. Stewart's military career, and one that I think is very interesting in the sense he had an interest in aviation all his life. And while many of his contemporary stars worked very admirably stateside selling bonds, Mr. Stewart insisted on an active duty role and no less a role as a bomber pilot, which from my understanding is when you and your crew went out on that very first bombing mission, folks told you, guys, this is so difficult what we're asking you to do. This may be your first and last trip. And when I first arrived at the museum 10 years ago, Paul, there were still gentlemen who I knew, Star Smith, who wrote a fantastic book called Jimmy Stewart, Bomber Pilot, shared with me the calm command Mr. Stewart had as a bomber pilot of flying over 20 successful missions over wartime Germany. This is something that, and I have received more than one, but one particularly touching email at a time a few years ago. We were having some financial challenges and looked very much like we might have to cease operations. And a gentleman who described himself as both an Iraq and Afghanistan war veteran sent a donation, advised me that I needed to put my donation box downstairs in a more prominent position because there were many of his contemporaries who would eventually need this museum but didn't realize it yet.
Hmm.
So
that's a great story.
It is. We've got the real deal here, as Mr. Stewart would say. It is something that we consider so worthwhile, and that my board members have worked for very nearly 20 years, many of them on and off the board in those mandated board rotations, because we have a prize. And we look around at, tourism, I think, is the second largest generator of income in the state, or very nearly that. We try very much to make Indiana County shine in that area. And we're so fortunate to have such an admirable person who was so talented and had an international reputation.
We've been talking with Tim Harley. He is the executive director of the Jimmy Stewart Museum. Today, the museum holding its annual fundraising event featuring an appearance by Carol Burnett, who will receive the 2014 Harvey Award. Tim Harley, it has been a pleasure visiting with you. Thank you so much for joining us today on Essential Pittsburgh, and good luck on the event.
Paul, my pleasure, sir, indeed.
Coming up, whatever happened to Saturday morning cartoons? It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.